Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Welcome to Capes and Scowls,
wherein we have capes and scowls.
Right. This edition, we focus on our tapes, though.
Tapes. We tape together the capes.
We tape them together so that we can put film off a projector and shoot it onto them.
And then put it onto video cassette.
That's right. And then we record our own soundtracks to it, which we then release on regular old cassette.
Video cassette. That's what I saw a Q&A with Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Okay.
The famous, gore exploitation cinema auteur of the 70s.
We'll he did call
like
him
the Wizard
that.
Of Gore and things like that. And he would call it legitimately video cassette. Video cassette.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So whenever I think of video, I think of video cassette.
Cassette, kids.
Video cassette.
Cassette.
Movies.
Well, movies. I have two and you have two. I'm going to tell you I am bad and then leave it in your hands.
All right. I'll go first. Okay. There's letter B in Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
There you go.
We got to work on that. Now. We got to work on that, though.
We're going to keep workshopping, Jared.
Yeah, yeah.
By the 27th one, we'll have it perfected, and then it will be done.
That's right, the number. Okay, I'm with you.
Yep.
Just like, what?
Even though Jared's Alphabet Challenge includes numbers, I didn't call it Jared's Alphanumeric Challenge.
He wouldn't appreciate it.
No, it's not good enough. This one is from 2005. It's a film called Brick.
Brick, baby. Brick, baby.
Oh, and these are movies from my personal film collection.
All on Laserdisc.
All on Laserdisc. Or video cassette.
Mm.
Watch this on August 9th of 2023. It's 1 hour and 59 minutes precisely. It is a mystery directed by Rian Johnson. You either love him or you hate him.
Hi, Star Wars fans.
Hi. Joseph Gordon-Levitt in this one as well.
Hey, there he is.
Yeah. Tracy Bitteroff and Noah Sagan, who will appear in a bunch of Rian Johnson movies. As they came out. I think he's in most of them. Maybe not the Star Wars you mentioned.
They're bros.
IMDb movie summary. A teenage loner pushes his way into the underworld of a high school crime ring to investigate the disappearance of his ex-girlfriend.
Oh no, where'd she go?
Where is she?
Where you at?
Where is she? This movie is so cool. If you've never seen this movie, Gordon-Levitt takes a high school student and kind of like his acquaintances and also his enemies and turns it into like a pulpy noir film, like to the extent where it sounds like the characters are speaking directly in like a Dashiell Hammett novel.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they like full on like have like cool talking all the time. Like, it's just like, man, this is awesome. Like, it's really pulpy, and it somehow works.
Okay.
Or at least for me, it works. Okay. It's so bizarrely interesting. Like, it's just like, why would you, what would make you think to do this? And why do I not hate it? But it gives the movie kind of a timeless factor. Payphones are in it, but it was at a time of cell phones. Like, he wanted to really set up this kind of, you can't quite place this movie in time.
Okay.
Which I think is really unique and interesting. You can definitely tell by, it's a low budget movie. You can tell kind of the age approximately because of the age of the vehicles and how things look and the clothing. But even that is so different. Like a lot of leaning on like the drama department of the high school for certain characters. So they're dressed up and in full like makeup and things like that help kind of show you what the character is directly on the outside, but the character speaking tries to tell you something. It's really cool. Like, it's so smart. But it definitely has that Tarantino-y, like, kind of, it'll stop you from, if you're not into movies, I think there's, like, kind of, it wears on you quickly. Like, it's just like, this doesn't quite gel with me.
Sure.
Because there's a certain kind of barrier to entry for this movie, and I think that's very intentional on Johnson's behalf. But it's really good. It's so smart. It's so fun. It really builds. The story's intriguing, and it totally pays itself off. Like, the mystery is solved, and then from there, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has to continue, and you can tell it, like, takes a toll. It's very leading man in a pulp kind of setting. It's really cool, but like especially applying it to that like high school contemporary setting makes it very unique and different. So even if you don't really like it, you're not going to see another movie quite like it. So I think even if it's not up your alley, you have to, if you're into movies, I think you can appreciate the fact that it's just so interesting and such a bizarre mashup.
Sounds like an experience.
It is. It's definitely different, and it's a lot of fun and way up my alley, so I definitely enjoy this one quite a bit. And it's an awesome and very successful low-budget indie flick.
This found a lot of fame after the fact, though, right?
Very much so.
Okay.
But it helped get him the next couple of projects he needed to move into such high-profile projects as a Star Wars film. So
that's cool.
Whether that upsets you or not, maybe you'll never watch Brick because you love Star Wars and hate those new Star Wars movies so much, but this one's really cool.
Don't be those people.
Don't worry about it. Just let's skip Star Wars and pretend you like Glass Onion or you like Knives Out. And it's like, without this movie, and you can tell the influence he had. Like, I mean, he's making these mystery movies now, right? In like a big way.
Right.
So it's really cool. It's really a fun watch. So if nothing else, you're not going to see another movie quite like Brick.
Nice.
IMDb gives it a 7.2 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 143 critics went back and reviewed this to 80%.
Okay.
Audience, 100,000 plus, given an 86%.
That's all pretty good.
Yeah. Sam, would you like to share what you thought about Brick? And I'll repeat it. 6. So more good than bad.
Yeah.
But again, there's that barrier to entry I talked about. I think that Sam was just like, why are they talking like this? But if you're into this, it definitely will appease your appetite for some noir, and it falls into the category of neo-noir. I give it an 8 out of 10.
I was going to guess 7.5.
Yep. It is a cool movie. Definitely a unique experience.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love you, honey bunny. What do I just keep that going?
Yeah, there you go. All right, every time.
Every time.
Transition.
No, I'm already done with it. Just like my love. Over it. Well, I got a movie. It's about giant robots. Do you like those?
I love those.
Oh, well. They transform as well.
All right, I'm still on board, but a little less happy than I was a moment ago.
But it's the new one from 2023.
I've heard things that were surprising.
Let's get through this.
Please do.
Transformers, Rise of the Beasts.
The Beasts.
Beasts.
The Beast. Grr. 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 Optimus Primal.
Roar. Was that Pac-Man?
That's my Transformers impression.
Oh. That's wonderful.
That's Transform and Roll Out.
I would watch that in a heartbeat. We need the max cut.
I'll just do all the sound for one of the Transformers.
That's perfect.
Transformers. Could you imagine how much less impressive it is that they're just like...
No, I think it's better.
I mean, it can't be much worse.
That's true.
So tell us about this newest installment.
Well, I love you, honey bunny. I watched it on the 14th of August, 2023. It's 2 hours, 7 minutes. So a shorter new movie.
Sure.
Good Lord. Action adventure sci-fi directed by Stephen Cappell Jr.
Whoa.
Starring Anthony Ramos, Dominic Fishback, and Luna Lauren Velez.
Okay.
I like that name. That's a fun one.
Luna Lauren Velez.
Yeah, I like that. It's got some punch to it. Good job, Luna's parents.
Nice.
IMDb movie summary. During the 90s, a new faction of Transformers, the Maximals, joined the Autobots as allies in the battle for Earth. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
That's basically it. Cappell Jr. also directed The Land and Creed number 2.
Okay, I like Creed number 2.
There's some credentials here.
I like that.
So this movie is pretty good, actually. It's not that bad.
I've heard that.
It's not that bad. And I got to tell you, I don't care at all for the Michael Bay Transformer movies.
Me either.
I watched most of them, and I felt the same way after all of them.
I gave up after the second one, I want to say. Maybe I've seen... I think I've seen bits of other ones, but I gave up in earnest after the second one.
Oh, Vern. Love you, honey. Luna Lauren Vern.
I don't like it, Vern.
So this movie starts the big bad. Uh-huh. If you are an 80s cartoon fanatic, is Unicron.
Oh, nice.
We're doing Unicron.
Orson Welles himself.
So what they decided to do, which was pretty smart, I don't know what year it's supposed to be. I don't know if it actually is the 90s at the beginning. I think the actual story takes place in the 90s. The Maximals exist, and you have all these recognizable characters, the good and the bad, the Predacons and the Maximals, and they're fighting. The Predacons are working for Unicron.
Okay.
They're trying to get him to a point where they get this MacGuffin, essentially, where if they locate it, they can teleport him to where they're at, and he can start destroying in a Galactus-style way all these planets. The Maximals lose. They get their asses handed to them right off the bat, and they decide to break it into pieces so they can't do it, and they go and put them in different spots. Classic thing. We've seen it 1,000 times.
Right.
But they're successful. Even though they lose a few people along the way, they do it. So they decide to hide amongst animals up until current day, being the 90s-ish.
Okay.
And then you have actual Autobots. So all the Autobot stuff has happened at this point. So you have cars, you have monkeys, you've got everything going on at the same time. The basic idea is the pieces get back together, they get discovered, they're put together by like an archaeology team. So then now the Predacons are coming because it's activated again.
Okay.
Simple. It's nothing we haven't seen 1,000 times, but it is done well.
Nice.
The human characters interacting with the robots are kind of fun. I never was like really too mad about it. There's some fun character work, but everybody just feels very real world, which was nice, you know, because it's just like, I don't know, in the old cartoon, it's like, all right, Spike kind of sucks. Like,
yeah.
I don't care if Spike makes it out alive. I almost feel like we'd be more successful if we just got rid of him.
Absolutely.
So it's one of those where I'm like, well, I don't feel like these characters need to be blown away. And there's definitely parts where they're useful.
Right.
You know, circumventing different areas that the giant robots can't get into. It's big, bombastic. There's explosions everywhere. It does still feel like Michael Bay in some respects, but a little less ludicrously so.
Good.
So, decent movie. We do have a lot of ups and downs, and I think my only real complaint is that some of the robots just feel like they're throwaway characters.
Okay.
Like, I know, if you remember Beast Wars was hugely successful.
Yes.
It actually probably kept Transformers around long enough to get this movie franchise years later.
Yeah.
It was largely off of the success of Beast Wars. Like, Cheetor is a favorite character. He's background fodder here.
Okay.
I don't know if it's because Bumblebee also exists and they're essentially the same idea.
Right.
But that's what they did.
Fair enough.
It's not the best movie I've ever seen, but I wasn't mad that I watched it, which was just kind of nice, honestly, after everything else.
I agree.
I guess, seriously. Like, everything dumb that happens in it, I'm like, I don't even care. It's not that bad.
No.
It's not that bad. Let's keep going.
This franchise has done way worse.
So much worse.
Yeah.
And I do like that, like, the Maximals kind of are better than the Autobots. Like, they're stronger.
Yeah.
And, like, all these things. Like, you see them in action, and they seem really good. But you also, in the back of your mind, like, but they got their asses kicked at the beginning of this movie. Fighting very similar foes, if not the same foes.
Right.
So, it's interesting. IMDb, give it a 6.1. The critics, what do you think a critic would think of this? There's 227 critics.
I'll go with a 71.
52.
Okay.
The audience, 5,000 plus. What do you think?
71.
91.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. The wife and I both have the same score. We agreed. Do you want to guess that?
6.5.
A 6.5 across the board for... Yeah, you know, I love you, honey bunny.
That's it for me.
All right.
I have another movie that is part of Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Jared's Alphabet Challenge.
Oh, it's getting better.
Maybe,
it's
right?
Getting better, yeah.
Maybe.
All right. Every time it's going to get a little bit better.
Maybe.
2007's Charlie Bartlett.
Oh, good old Charlie Bartlett.
Charlie Bartlett.
Oh, Charlie.
Watch this on August 15th, 2023. Don't know what that is.
It's Why 1 hour. Pop me?
1 hour and 37 minutes. It is a drama comedy directed by John Pohl, starring the late, great Anton Yelchin, Robert Downey Jr., and Hope Davis.
I miss Yelchin.
Yelchin.
Very good.
Yeah, I agree. One of the weirdest deaths.
Yeah, no, just sad.
Yeah, like, what? What happened? We don't exactly know for sure, but it's kind of like this. Huh?
Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
A rich kid becomes the self-appointed psychiatrist to the entire student body of his new school.
It's a weird thing to happen.
Yeah, so he's kind of a kid who comes from a line of what seems to be well-to-do, and he comes from a line of private schools that apparently just keep expelling him for one reason or another, and he seems to have this innate desire for everyone to like him.
Oh.
So it's like, I have to be the person that everybody likes. Like, I have to be this kind of... So then he goes to public school, and he does the everybody needs to like me by kind of feigning different symptoms of various mental disorders and getting drugs for them. And then when the kids tell them that he legitimately has this, he goes and pretends he does, and he gets the prescription for the drug that he thinks he would need.
It's such a weird idea.
It is a really out there and really dangerous idea.
I don't think this would get made today.
No. And it's really cool
because... It's not even that old, right?
No, it's from 2007. And
weird.
What's really cool is it does bite him in the ass at a point.
Well, okay.
There's a kid who's suicidal and actually like overdoses on the prescriptions that he gave him. And so it comes back to really like bite him hard, where it's just like, you know, he kind of sees the gravity of this, and it kind of moves him on to other things. And he's like, you know what? There's other ways to help people. I don't need to just keep giving out drugs. And he kind of comes to grips with the fact that he's not going to be everybody's favorite now that he's not just the school drug dealer. And it turns out that all these kids just want somebody to relate to. And so he still is the cool kid at school that everybody comes and talks to.
There you go.
Psychiatry office kind of in one of the boys' bathrooms. So like you sit in one stall and talk to him while he's in another stall.
I don't feel great about sitting in here talking to you while it smells like pee.
That's right. And the school bully is the one who keeps all the drugs. Like he's like the tough so nobody can get to the drugs. And then he's like, all right, give him 10 of this or 20 of this. And he does it. And he like, of course, you know what I mean? Takes money for it and all this naturally. Kind of stuff. And then they use the money to do good things. It's like a pretty neat like teen drama comedy thing. Like it's unique and different and very of the time. It definitely has that flair, that indie flair of like, remember that movie Easy A with Emma?
Yep.
Emma Stone, right?
I think it was Emma Stone.
Yeah. We're just like, it's that era of like early aughts, like early 10 or late aughts, early 10s, like high school drama where just like everybody's super smart and has to have very witty dialogue. This fits into that, but just a little less of that. Like it was kind of feeding into that craze.
What does Clerks look like inside a high school?
Yeah, it's like this indie drama of the time where everybody has to be super quippy and smart and have one-liners. And it's like, it is on that ilk, but it's unique. And the character of Charlie Bartlett's really cool. Kat Dennings is in this as his love interest. And she's really neat and interesting. And she's Robert Downey Jr.'s daughter. And Robert Downey Jr. is the school principal. And so like they butt heads because he's like the dangerous kid and she's falling for him. And he's a recovering alcoholic. And he also plays a recovering alcoholic. And it's pretty neat, like, little tension that's in the movie. It's really good and thoughtful, and it just resonates with me. I don't know why. I think that I like this movie probably more than it deserves.
Okay.
Not by a lot. It's a really well-made movie, but it just works really well for me. Like it fires on a lot of cylinders for
Something
me.
About it just really sticks for you.
Right. It resonates. IMDb gives it the second best possible score of a 6.9 out of 10.
Nice.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 131 critics give it 58%.
Ooh.
The audience of 100,000 plus give it 71%.
Okay.
Sam, what say you? 9 out of 10 for Sam. That's nice. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And I give it a 7 out of 10.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
So it just sounds like it's very, very good and you should have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, it's not lighting the world on fire or doing anything that's going to blow your mind, but it's doing the thing it does very well.
That's fun.
Yeah, very, very memorable film.
Sometimes we need fun.
Yeah, exactly. Do what you do well. Like, you don't have to always aim for the highest possible, the pinnacle, but you can just be like, you know what? I'm going to do what I can given the perimeters of what I have, and that's exactly what this movie does.
Somebody has to get that mid-hanging fruit.
That's right. The middle of the fruit.
That's right.
That's where the delicious seeds of the pomegranate reside.
Maybe the title of it. Maybe. Yeah. I don't think it's getting said again. So.
Where the pomegranate seed resides.
Yeah. Whoa. Drunk Tim's going to be like, how do you spell pomegranate?
Ooh, good luck.
Oh, boy.
Reside.
Pomegranate. I love you, honey bunny. Anyways, I'll take us home.
Please.
With a movie that is just fucking dumb.
Okay.
2022's The Invitation.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not that invitation.
It's not. I watched this on August 19th, 2023. It's an hour 45 horror thriller directed by Jessica M. Thompson, starring Natalie Emmanuel, Thomas Doherty, and Sean Pertwee. I'm going to guess is how that's said. Your IMDb movie summary, a young woman is courted and swept off her feet only to realize a gothic conspiracy is afoot.
Oh, isn't that always the case when you're swept off your feet?
I know, there's always a foot involved. Lame. And much like that joke, this movie's not that great.
Oh.
So I was interested in this movie. My wife wanted to see this movie and I was kind of like, oh, I thought it looked bad.
Okay.
But then I looked into it and I said, oh, it's written by Blair Butler. You remember her? She was on G4, Attack of the Show. She was their comic nerd.
Okay.
And she's actually written some comics.
Nice. I'm
like, oh, I love her. She's great. I haven't seen her in years. Don't know what she's up to besides this.
Right.
But I like Blair Butler. That's cool. Let's check it out. Sorry, Blair. Still love you, though.
Hey, everybody, not everything can be perfect.
So the lead, if you're not familiar, Natalie Emmanuel, she was in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
She was... Daughter of Dragons, right-hand woman. I've blocked it all out. But it basically, she's over here in America. Everybody else is over in England. And she gets told that she has family over there. She ends up actually, so she works. She's like a waitress. She's working parties and stuff to make ends meet. She's just a college student. And one of the giveaway things, like this high dollar thing, is like a ethnicity test. The fucking... whatever it is. And she does the swab, sends it in.
Oh, okay, like a DNA test.
DNA test, thank you. And she sends it in, and they're all ethnicity test.
I'm like, what? I don't know where you're going with that. You know what I'm talking about.
You're from this place, maybe. And then they revise it 7 more times.
Okay.
And like, my Celtic tattoo doesn't make sense anymore.
That's right.
Those. So they discover her because of that. They realize, okay, we do have somebody who's related to us. And you find out that she's the first female who has been born into that family in a very long time.
Okay.
So they're all like, oh my God, a female in our bloodline. It's been forever. And they really want to meet her. So they arrange it to happen. They fly her over. She's like, wow, this is really good. She falls in love with the one person there who she's not related to. It's all very by the books. Of course, they're all vampires.
And not Canadian.
They're not Canadian vampires because they're, while polite and British,
not Canadian.
You know something's wrong the entire time. They don't explicitly say vampires, but I am because I don't want you to watch this. You get the feeling things are off, and they do a good job of conveying dread and doing horror things. Like, that part is good.
Nice.
A lot of the help at the mansion are like disappearing, or if somebody does something wrong, all of a sudden they're not around anymore. She kind of befriends them in because she's just very polite, and they're like, why are you talking to her? She's a wench, you know, whatever.
Right.
Because they're all very, you know, British royalty almost is how they're typecast. It's not great. The ending is awful. Like, there is a part. So the movie ends, and it's like, okay, whatever. I wasted my time, I understand. And then there's a scene beyond that. And had I never watched it, this movie would not be getting as much hate from me as it is.
Holy crap.
Because I legit saw that last bonus scene, and I said, I've never hated anything as much as this right now. I'm
including
so mad.
Party?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy
this
shit.
Bonus scene just pissed me off so much. I was like, why even put that in here?
Oh,
you dummies. Anyways, the movie's not great. Maybe somebody loves it. I don't know.
Did the bonus scene make it drop points, like rating points? Or do you think it was just like kind of par for the course?
I wasn't surprised it happened. I was just disappointed it happened.
Damn, that's brutal.
Yeah.
That's almost worse.
Right, because... and I'll get to that in just a second here. Okay. So IMDb give it a 5.3.
Okay.
The Rotten Tomato critics, 66 of them, 29%.
All right.
The audience, 1,000 plus, 59%. So it's all pretty much that.
Yep.
Do you want to guess who has the higher score between me and my wife? The wife who wanted to watch this movie.
I'm going
to
go with you.
I do have the higher score. I do. I gave it a 5.5. She gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
I honestly, before that end scene... would have probably given this closer to a 6, 6.5 because of the tension and the atmosphere and how well it was shot. Like, they do so much right. The problem is the dialogue and the character work is so bad that it takes you right back out of it.
Yeah, it's like, why did they invest so much in this knowing that this was what was on the page?
Yep, for everything it's totally one step forward, two steps back the whole movie until you get to that end scene and you're like, I just hate myself for watching it.
Boof.
Yep.
Boof.
Oof.